A blonde and a brunette walk into a bar, a room, to talk about Jesus, exploring God's word, tackling topics no one likes talking about, discussing biblical truths, and dodging bad theology on the way. This is Her Theology. Hello, ladies, and welcome back to another episode here with Her Theology. My name is Cass, and I actually don't have Kirst with me here today. She is on holidays, lucky duck, and having a bit of a break before the Christmas madness, which we can all resonate with. I am certain of that. But instead, I have a beautiful friend here, Katie, who's from More Than Wildflowers. You might know her from her account on Instagram. She's here with us today to share a really personal story with us. So while Kirst is away, I'm conducting a few interviews with some women, focusing primarily on the hardships we face, including infertility, facing unplanned pregnancies and abortions. And then also today, a really important topic is journeying through stillbirth. And Katie has a very powerful and raw story to share with us all today. So, Katie, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Yes. I'm so excited.
I know. I really respect you that you're coming on and sharing this, because it is it's a lot. I really admired seeing your journey online and how you've just been so faithful and just giving God the glory. It's been unbelievable. So I'm excited for everyone listening.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That means so much to hear.
Yeah. So just to give some people a bit of context, I started following Katie, well, her account, More Than Wildflowers, when we started Her Theology over a year ago now, because we ended up having all these weird mutual friends. Katie lives an hour and a half, about an hour northwest from us. So just a small Christian world, isn't it?
Yes, that's it.
And so as I was following her on Instagram, I was seeing how she's building this amazing business, which I highly recommend you all hop on, support local, because that's the thing right now. Support local, support Katie and her business, More Than Wildflowers. And she just sells the most beautiful Christian resources for women and men, but yeah, a lot of women stuff.
Mostly women, yeah.
And so you stock a lot of the stuff that we don't find easily here in Australia. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's right. I feel like I can't really take credit for the products, because they're all created by these amazing people in America who have all the talent. There's some really beautiful illustrations, really beautiful just content that's theologically sound. And yeah, it costs so much money to get it over here, especially like for you as an individual, the shipping could cost double the product itself. And so I saw this opportunity to be able to get it over here in bulk and be able to save us Aussies as well as New Zealanders some money and, yeah, make them more accessible.
And it's awesome. I mean, you stock She Reads Truth, which is really hard to get hands on here.
True, yes.
And the Hosanna.
Hosanna Revival.
Yeah. That's it. I always go Hosanna Bible and I'm like, no, Revival, not Bible. <Yes. laughs> But they do have Bibles as well.
They do, yes. Yeah, they are my favorite. They're just so beautiful. There's the artist that created them, Katie Noble, illustrates them all by hand and then gets them printed, and it's just stunning work.
I love that. And then you got some great stuff for kids, which is where I keep on getting hooked and buying stuff from your business, because
I'm not complaining.
There's another great kid resource I want for my kids. So. Yeah. So anyway, I'm saying all of this to say you should definitely go check out More Than Wildflowers on Instagram or on her website, and you can purchase some amazing products there. So as I've been watching Katie build her business, you went through a tough time at the beginning of this year, losing their little beautiful baby boy Bowman and into Christ's arms. And Katie took a bit of time off Instagram, but then was sharing her journey, and I just thought, wow, this woman, her faith is unbelievable, and I would love to one day have her share with everyone here. So I reached out I was a bit fearful too because I thought, oh gosh, what a horrible person asking this.
Not at all.
But I would just like, I was so encouraged to see, and I guess it's just been such an incredible witness for me to see the way that God has just filled you with like love and grace and mercy and strength in this season. And I just thought there's so much for others to learn from that. So I'm excited to have you on. So before we get stuck in, do you want to maybe give us a quick intro to who you are as a person? And then maybe if you can share one new thing that you learnt recently.
So as we said, I'm Katie. I came to know Christ when I was 4 years old and have been growing with him ever since. I am married to Adam. We've been married for 6.5 years, about that.
Yep.
And together we have 3 beautiful children. We have Milani, also known as Millie, who is 4 years old. Love we that. Have Franklin, also known as Frankie, who is 2 years old. And then Beaumont, who is affectionately known by many names, Bo, Monty, Bowie, Naughty Ezra. There's a whole story behind that, which I'll save you from right now, but maybe another time. Yes, so as you said, sadly, Bo was stillborn in January this year at full term. I never know how to continue on with an introduction once I just, you know, give you that heaviness of what has happened, but let me try and keep going over it.
Okay.
So I grew up moving towns every 3 years and then spent 2.5 years in a motorhome traveling Australia. And then we ended up in Tamworth, which is where I consider my hometown, even though I was 15 when we moved there. So my passions mostly surround creative arts. I used to be a dance teacher and I run a photography business as well.
I did not know that. There you go.
Yeah. So pretty much anything creative I like to try. It's, you know, sometimes hit or miss, but it's always, you know, a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
To answer your question of something that is new to me, I learned recently, I heard it in 2 different places within a week. So this is why I'm sharing it today. It's just total random fact. Did you know that cousins whose parents are identical twins share 25% of their DNA instead of the usual 12.5%?
Oh, wow.
And that means that while full siblings share 50% of their DNA, half siblings share 25%, which all of that means that a child of identical twins is legally a cousin, but genetically the equivalent of a half sibling.
That is weird.
I know.
To the identical parents' twin.
Yeah. Like, as in.
It is so odd.
Oh, yeah. So confusing. But, I heard it in 2 different places, and I'm like, I don't know why this both came up in the same week. But
that
anyway,
is so weird.
Fun fact for you.
Gee whiz. Okay. It's amazing how God's created us with twins and all that sort of stuff. I always find that fascinating, and how twins like end up being like identical twins do things the same and whatnot, get some weird connection stuff going on. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. It's very weird. Well, I learnt that in the radio today. I just heard it. You know that song, Living the Vida Loca?
Oh, yeah.
It means living the crazy life, and I did not know that. I don't know what I thought it was. I was like, there you go. Learned something new on weird radio channels. But more importantly, a stat that you told me beforehand when we were chatting, which I thought was really important that I have learnt just now and might take us into this conversation, is that 1 in 6 women or pregnancies will end in a stillbirth, which is quite a high stat, much higher than I ever thought.
Yes.
So I think this is a very relevant conversation. And like I said to Katie just before we hopped on, I only found out this today that next week, which is what, the 12th of October onwards, or ish around that date, is the national week for miscarriage, infertility and stillbirth. So I think this is a beautiful timing that God has just aligned this all to happen today. So with all that said, Katie, would you like to share with us, I guess, and walk us through what the journey's been like for you and, yeah, tell us where you're at.
Well, I feel like I need to preface this conversation to that, you know, my pregnancies have never been smooth sailing. Before Millie, I had had an early miscarriage, which absolutely devastated me. And then with Millie, I had barely major surgery for my endometriosis.
Wow.
And found out 3 days later that I was pregnant with Millie. And was like, is she going to survive? Yeah, because it was deep infiltrative endometriosis, which means that it's like within the tissue. And so they're like cutting it out from, the tissues inside of me. I'm like, is she going to survive? I'd also had an x-ray. So I was like, is this going to, affect her? I also spent a lot of time in and out of hospital with bleeding throughout the pregnancy as well. So I was just anxious that whole pregnancy. With all three kids, I had the worst morning sickness as well.
Oh, poor thing.
Not smooth sailing. So by the time I got pregnant with Beau, I was actually feeling a lot less anxious because I had had two healthy children that had survived, you know, things that I thought they wouldn't have. And so I was like, okay, God has blessed us with two healthy children. This will be okay. Like, he's going to be fine. So beside some pretty bad morning sickness for 20 weeks, pretty much everything went well. There were no complications. But nearing the end of my third trimester, my fibromyalgia was excruciating. And due to the fact that I'd had such bad tearing with the other two kids, the midwife had felt an early induction would be a good option for me.
Mm-hmm.
So she scheduled in a time which happened to be Australia Day. And we were just so excited for that day to come. A week before this date, I had a phone call from the obstetrician at the hospital, who's explained that my reasons for needing an induction weren't severe, and so she didn't feel comfortable with inducing early, and so she shifted that date back to the due date in February. So I was pretty devastated about this, having to be in agony for another couple of weeks, but I'm not really one to fight, and so I just accepted that. Which obviously in hindsight, I had to battle with that going, like, if he had have come earlier, if everything had have gone that way, would it have been different? But I realized that, like, there is no point in that train of thought, the what ifs, because, you know, this is what has happened. And
But it's so natural that we would do that as well, you know?
A lot to work through. A lot of things come up. Let me jump into his birth story somewhat. So I was 39 weeks. I'd been struggling with insomnia and pain, just like I had through the whole pregnancy. So I was awake that morning at 3:30 a.m. in my usual pain, but then it transitioned to something a bit different. And as I'd been induced with the other two kids, I didn't know what early labor really was like. And so I was just guessing, but at 4:30, I decided to call my midwife and have a chat to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually wasn't available, but another midwife who was on call spoke with me, confirmed my suspicion that this probably is labor. I should go to the hospital because I have been known to have very fast labors. And she would meet me there. So she was actually coming from the Central Coast. So she had an hour drive to the hospital, and she's like, get there and hope that I meet you there to have the baby, but there'll be people to help you. So we got there. I actually woke Adam up after his 4:45 a.m. alarm goes off. It's crazy. So I walked into our room because I'd been up, and I said, I didn't even have to say anything to him. He just asked me, "Is it baby day?" And I replied very excitedly, like, "Yes, like we need to go."
Happening. Yep.
Yep. And that's actually one of the hardest things to remember, is like that moment and the moment in the car driving to the hospital, just how excited we were and how, like, we just had no idea what we were about to face. Yeah, so anyway, we got ready. We headed to the hospital. We had a dear friend who lived a couple doors down that came to watch the kids. And, you know, it was probably an hour or so after we got to the hospital that they actually checked on how Beau was going.
Okay.
They put the, I'm not sure what you call it, like the Doppler or...
Yeah, the,
you
know, the monitoring.
To check his heart. And so at this point, I'm like sitting on a bouncy ball next to the bed. And she had trouble finding his heartbeat. And she said, "You know, I think it's just his position. He's probably just hiding a bit. You know, maybe it's the way you're sitting. How about you hop up on the bed and we'll have another go?" And I really, like, it didn't hit me at all that there could be something wrong. I just thought, sure, like, I trust you. He's probably in the wrong position. And so I hopped up onto the bed, and then she tried again and still couldn't find the heartbeat. And so at that point, I was just starting to, like, realize something wasn't right. He wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And she called in reinforcements, and, you know, they had to have a couple of people come in before they could confirm it. It all happened very quickly after that. The midwife who was in with me actually said, "There's a midwife on call here that is a Christian, and would you like her to come in and pray with you?" And
that's beautiful.
He came in and prayed with us, which was just so lovely. You know, just to have, like, within minutes be covered in prayer. I have no idea what she said. I cannot remember, but it just, meant so much to me. And then after that, they said, "You can have pretty much any pain relief you want. Nothing's off the table." And so, being in a lot of pain, I was like, I want an epidural.
I can totally understand that, yes.
They checked and they, got all ready. But by this time, I was ready to push. And so there was no way I was staying still for actually having an epidural. So it all happened, fast. I gave birth to him. And
no pain relief or anything.
I'd had morphine, and so I'd had some, but not the epidural. That's it. I don't even think that the morphine or anything had kicked in by that point, because it was so close from giving some pain relief to giving birth. And it actually was, I don't know if it was an emotional part to it, or it probably was both, but it was my most painful labor as well. I cannot describe the pain. It was awful. So anyway, it's not fun to think about. I gave birth to him, and I couldn't even look at him for ages. I could feel him on me, but I just knew that he was lifeless. And the thought that came to my mind first and was the most prominent was actually, how am I going to tell Millie? Because my little four-year-old was just so excited for a baby brother, just obsessed with babies. And I was like, how am I going to tell her that her brother has passed away? She hadn't faced death before.
Because how old is she now?
So she's four. She was three and a half.
So she's at that age too.
So that was the prominent thought in my mind. And then the second thing that came up was just, how am I going to have the strength to face my family and friends with this news and deal with their grief as well and wanting to be strong, but yeah, not knowing how to just face the future, I guess.
Yeah, wow. And then that's hearing that from you is like, wow, it's amazing that that's where our mind goes, you know?
So I was just like, I didn't really know what I needed at that moment. I was in shock, really. Adam went to call some family, and then he decided he needed to call our best friends, Kathy and Jared, which, you know, at the time, as I just said, I didn't have the mental space to think about what I needed, but that was exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And yeah, so some context, Bo was born on a Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m. and our church service starts at 8:30. And so when Adam called Jared, he was at church with our friends. And so he gathered our, you know, close friends together and they prayed for us straight away and they figured out how could they help us. And then three of them, so Jared, Kathy and Tear, came up to the hospital and were there with us for half of the day, which was just, yeah, the most amazing thing. It was so helpful. They just brought this comfort and calmness with them, which I'll be forever grateful for.
Yeah.
And it helped me to kind of feel like I could face the kids and face the family and face everyone because I didn't have this time for, yeah, being comforted first.
I mean, that's just wild to see how God just surrounded you guys. Timing wise is like making me teary because I'm like, that it's just that's unbelievable and beautiful. It doesn't make it easier, but it helps carry you through. Yeah
definitely. And you know, part of that helpfulness of my friends being there was that Tara is an amazing photographer, so she was able to capture some beautiful photos. You know, being a photographer myself, the first thoughts was I should go, like, get someone to go home and get my camera because I hadn't even taken it to the hospital. But I was so grateful that Tara was able to come and I didn't even have to, you know, give a second thought about it. She just was able to take photos and capture Bo and capture our family of five as well as extended family, all getting to meet him. Treasured photos.
Because I saw the photos and I did actually watch the funeral. You sent me the link and it was beautiful and I thought it's so special and so beautiful that you actually got photos, you know, like not a lot of people have that opportunity and I just, it might be confronting for some people, but I think it's wonderfully, is healing the right word or just helps bring him into the family. He's part of the family. He's not, you know, I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, we have so many of the photos up on our wall now and we have an illustration of him up on our wall as well, which just makes it, as you say, feel like he's a part of the family. The kids see that every day and they just know, like, they have a brother but he's in heaven.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so good. So the next thing that happened was my parents brought the kids in and they had pre-warned them of what had happened without approval, of course.
Yeah.
And it did feel a lot easier facing them knowing that they'd already been told a little bit of what was happening. So Frankie was mostly oblivious and he just wanted to bring joy to everyone and was like, look at me, like, let's have fun. And then Millie was just so sweet. She could sense the sadness in the room and was using her kind words and giving big cuddles and just trying to support us in her four-year-old way, which was so beautiful. Adam's family were able to come, some from the Central Coast, some from Newcastle, to meet Bo as well. Unfortunately, his mum wasn't able to come as she was in hospital in her last 2 weeks of battling cancer. We were able to FaceTime her and have one of the last coherent conversations with her, sharing what had happened and kind of showing her foe. She actually passed away 2 weeks later on Bo's funeral day. We'd gone home after the funeral, had a couple hours sleep, and then drove to the Central Coast because we'd gotten word that she'd passed away. So
my goodness, you guys have been through.
Yeah, it was insane to have just spent 2 weeks planning a funeral and then the next day be sitting with another funeral director. And yeah, crazy. Yeah, so the hospital offered that we could stay the night with Bo, or we could actually take his body home with us, which we felt was unnecessary. We both held that view that, you know, although it was a privilege to see his body and to hold him, his spirit was not there. He is Christ. And so, for us, we were like, this isn't necessary at all. So
no, I understand that.
Yeah. From that, we went home and we actually grabbed takeaway, which was the weirdest thing, just going through drive-thru and going, they have no idea what has just happened to us. And then we had to start the journey of planning funerals, and my milk came in as well, so having to deal with that. And
so I was going to ask, how did you go with the whole physiological aspect of carrying for 10 months and then
the milk was the hardest thing. The milk came in on the third day. I had the option to take some medication that actually dries up the milk. But I'd talked to Adam about it, talked to my midwife, and decided that the side effects did not sound so nice. Like, it could make you angry or have psychosis or, like, all of these things. It just jumped to very severe side effects. And, I don't know what the odds of actually getting those side effects are, but it just sounded like something we didn't need to add to the mix.
100%.
Yeah, but then when my milk actually did come in, both my midwife and Adam were like, we really hope we didn't pressure you into not having the medication, because, they could see just how rough it was on me.
It's devastating.
Thankfully, praise God, I didn't get mastitis. I'd gotten mastitis every month with Frankie for 12 months.
What?
Insane. And then, I didn't get mastitis when my milk came in, and then had to deal with that. So that was just a massive praise point for God.
Yeah, definitely. That's huge. And so how are you, I watched the funeral, and I have to say I was hesitant for a while because I knew it would be gut-wrenching and beautiful at the same time. But I watched it and I was so surprised at how joy-filled it was. And I know that sounds weird because you guys are grieving, and it sounds weird to say that about a funeral, particularly when it's a newborn. There's just something, it's even heavier, I feel like, in the midst of that. But it was just so clear that you guys, number one, your confidence that was repeated, but also, like I said, this joy that was there, this peace, I guess, is maybe another way of explaining it, this peace that both of you had. And I found it really comforting and really beautiful when you said in your speech, I have comfort in knowing that my first hug will be with Jesus. Bo's first hug will be with Jesus. I was like, oh gosh. So I guess for me, I would love for you to share, what has that journey been like for your faith? But what gives you that confidence? Like, what is it that's giving you that confidence in Christ and to know that? And I'm super aware that doesn't, I think sometimes we think that means you've got to be void of sadness and anger and all those things. So it's balancing all those and holding those, saying it's okay to go through that wild roller coaster of emotions while also being confident in Christ. So, I guess what gives you that confidence?
Well, thank you so much for watching it. It does mean a lot that you took the time to do that. I think, like, my confidence definitely came from years of experience and learning from scripture of who God is. I definitely feel like God had blessed me too with a gift of faith that even though, you know, even when I am in my lowest lows, I just can't help but hold on to him.
Amazing.
And the knowledge that if all I have is Jesus, then that is enough. So I've come to realize that what I thought was my worst fear, the thing that would destroy me if it happened, you know, losing a child, was not the worst thing that I could face.
Okay.
That my son had passed away, and I knew that I would see him again if I remained faithful with Christ. And, you know, if I let my suffering tear me away from the hope in Christ that I have, then, you know, that would be the worst of the worst. You know, eternal separation from God is the only thing that we should be truly terrified about, because wow, you know, everything else is temporary, and death isn't the final chapter. And so that, yeah, gave me a lot of hope, that realization that, if I have Jesus, then that is enough.
That's awesome. I love what you just said then, you know, that you are going to see him again when we're believers. Like that's unbelievable. And like you said, yeah, that's amazing. That's beautiful. Has there been like certain scripture maybe or because, I mean, to be honest, I didn't know your history with health. So it sounds like you definitely have had experienced some severe forms of suffering outside of this as well. So, you know, and then with your mother-in-law. So has there been some scripture maybe previously and maybe now that's really helped you through that or?
Yeah. So I actually, you know, to give more context, I started getting migraines when I was 7 years old, and I don't remember a day since I was seven that I have not had pain in my body.
Oh my goodness.
And so, yeah, now I struggle with chronic pain, chronic fatigue, a whole list of things. And so I found that really hard when Beau passed away and processing it all, going, like, why me? Like, this just feels like another thing. But, I mean, the verse that comes to mind is, I'm just trying to remember it off the top of my head. I did actually write it down somewhere. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted.
Yes.
Near the one. See if I can find it. I'm not very good at Bible memorization.
Don't worry, I'm totally with you. I can repeat them, but don't ask me where they are.
Yeah. but there have been so many that I've come across that have just brought so much comfort.
Yeah,
I think Romans 8 is a really good place to look. And
yeah, okay,
yeah.
And I think as well, you know, it sounds like for you, faith wise it's been a lifelong journey of God, like building that foundational faith. And it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's, you know, it's not necessarily about memorizing one or two verses to carry us through. It's having the whole of scripture and being in scripture and seeing God work through scripture in our life and his promises working in our life. That's what carries us through. It's those moments of maturing, I guess, that get us to this season.
Yeah, definitely. And seeing, you know, who he is, what his character is like. So when you are in the depths of suffering, you know, you have so many doubts come up. Like, is God even near? Like, it feels like he's so far away. And those kind of things. And, you know, if you have that history of being able to read God's word and see what he's like, then you're able to use that, you know, as your weapon against those doubts and go, no, like, I know that he is near to me, and I know that he is, he does care. And
that's powerful. Yes. Preach it, sister. I love this. So, I guess on more a practical level, this is something I really wanted to touch on, because I know when I've had friends that have miscarried, I've had friends that have gone through stillbirth, I've had friends that have lost their little ones a little later on down the track. And it's as a friend and as a sister in Christ, we may not be close to those people. They may be just within our realm of contact. Maybe they're in our church. Maybe they're a friend of a friend. And often I think we want to help, but sometimes the ways in which we help maybe aren't so helpful, albeit best intentions. We try and silver lining things. We all know that empathy means listening, but sometimes we just automatically want to fix, we want to make someone smile, we want to whatever it may be. And so I guess maybe you could share with us just some practical ways or ways that we can help support someone going through this journey, along with maybe what are some of the more unhelpful things?
I mean, firstly, I would just say pray, like just keep praying for those people. They may not know that you're praying for them, but you can just see how God does answer our prayers, and prayer is powerful. So don't discount. If all you can do is pray for that person, then that is huge.
Can I ask on that note, because I think sometimes we feel like we're not doing enough if we just pray. But could you tell, I know this might seem a bit weary, but could you tell when you were really covered in prayer and those kind of times? Do you think there wasn't a sense where you could actually, you can vouch for that being a really practical way of helping because you actually experienced it?
Yeah, I definitely felt like through that whole first week or two, I had so many people telling me that they were praying for me. So I knew that people were praying for me, but I could just feel that like I had this energy, which is so strange having, you know, considering the circumstances, but this, I could just feel God's strength basically.
Yes.
Feel God's strength. And I knew that, you know, it was not a strength that came from myself. And I could feel that, that people were covering me in prayer and petitioning for that strength for me.
Yeah, and I think that's a great word, petitioning. I think that's what, I just, only because I've spoken to a few people and they've said that, they're like, there's this sense of, I don't know what to pray, but I can tell that there's the body praying for me.
Yes.
And it's really beautiful. So I just wanted to say that just to strengthen kind of your point to pray. Never underestimate prayer. Sorry, yeah, keep on going with practical.
So also I think that Job in the first few passages there is an excellent example of how to support someone through hardship, where his friends are just sitting with him. They're just present with him. Before they start with their speeches, they're just, there and lending a listening ear. What I found the most helpful was my dear friends coming over each day, particularly my best friends were here every day for the first couple of weeks. And for me, just their presence reminded me that they care and that I was not alone in that grief. They gave me the space to talk about what was going on, how I was feeling, but they also didn't push for conversation either. They gently reminded me of God's goodness in ways like sharing a Bible verse on the letterboard, which actually was the one we were talking about earlier, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that beautiful. That verse really stuck with me through this whole grieving process. And some friends brought over my favorite chocolate or tea or just, you know, nice little things to show they cared. Some people cleaned our house so we didn't have to do it. They offered to babysit. Our church quickly set up a meal roster, which actually extended over 3 months, which was amazing because
beautiful.
You know, Adam went back to work.
Reality sits in.
That's it. Reality sinks in, but it's still this deep grief that we're just starting to figure out. But I also want to say, like, almost as equally as helpful as those friends that were present were the friends who lived afar, but they were able to send physical, like send gifts, things like a few dear friends ordered groceries for us.
That's great.
We did some little treats for the kids, like tiny teddies and just some fun things like that. One beautiful friend dropped off a massive basket full of like tea and chocolate journals for each of us to write out how we were feeling, I for one found that so helpful. I can be a bit of a writer just to process what's happening, as well as she dropped off things like shampoos and toiletries so that we wouldn't have to think about grocery shopping for a while as well.
That's great.
And even people who heard the news through More Than Wildflowers and had never met me before sent devotionals and other really beautiful Christian books.
That's amazing.
That was so helpful. And I think it made it even more impactful that these people had never met me before. Some of them I hadn't even conversed with before, and they felt compelled to send their love and support and also spend money on books to share with me. So that was just, that really impacted me a lot. I can't really express how grateful I am for that.
That's like the church in action. That's crazy. And I love the practical aspects. Like if you're listening to this, the amount of times people have offered to come clean my house and it's like, don't ask me, just come and do it because I'm going to say no.
That's it,
room, but just come and do it. Just go and do it.
There's a big learning curve to go, like, normally we would say, oh, no, like we're okay, but we are not okay and it is okay to ask for help. And so
and accept
when people
it.
Offered, we're like, okay, come on over. And we just had to, put away our pride and, let them help with. Yeah, was exactly what we needed.
So, that's great.
Yeah. I think I feel like it's also important to remind people that, for the first little while, so many people can be impacted by what has happened and want to show their support, but it's in the months and the years later that, people do go back to their normal lives, and not to say they forget, but, it's an everyday thing for us, whereas for them, they'll remember here or there and check in. So, just a reminder to be thinking about how you can check in regularly just to see how that person is going or offer support as they try and face this new normal of what life looks like.
Yeah, because I guess there's all the milestones and things like that. As your kids grow up and all that, like there's going to be so many things that we don't realize that trigger us that, that's really helpful and really insightful. Thank you. That's really good. Was there anything that was like, maybe steer away from that? Or was it all pretty okay?
I'd be lying if I said it was all good. No, I feel a little bit uneasy sharing some of these things, just that if anyone listening had actually been the person that said it to me.
Totally. You could say it in a very broad brush stroke.
I do want to say that I know that everything was said with, the best intentions.
Yes.
Sometimes we just don't have the words, and I totally get that. One comment that was made was maybe God allowed Bo to pass away because I had shut off the idea of having any more children, and God needed me to have another child so that they would, become someone important or, do something amazing for him. And, that made me feel pretty icky. And I, for a little while I was like, I don't know how to combat this. Like, I know this isn't right. But, I chatted to one of my dear friends about it, and she reminded me that God does not manipulate us.
No, not at all.
His character. And so I was able to quickly move past that, but it's still, often we can try and find reason for what happened, and I don't think that's very helpful when we probably never will know the exact reason why it had to happen. And the other thing, which I wanted to share was personally, I felt quite hurt when someone would say, I know how you feel because I miscarried in my first trimester. I don't want to diminish their feelings of grief by saying this was unhelpful, but you know, it is different.
Yeah, it's not comparable.
That's it. Yeah, like I said, I think I might have said earlier, I lost a baby early on as well, and that was so agonizing to me. But then, you know, that life at 5, 6, 7 weeks, that life at 39 weeks, they both matter. They're both
totally
important. We both grieve that child, you know, what we had hoped for them.
But the journey is very different.
That's it. You know, when that comment was made, the anger stirred in me going like, you know, but I had to go through 20 weeks of morning sickness and the pain and insomnia for weeks and the agony of labor and the agony after labor, just physically and having to give birth to your child knowing that they were not alive was really like,
it's very,
it's different.
It is. It's very different.
Can't compare it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to quote someone, Abby Wedgeworth, who wrote a devotional called Held. It's actually one that someone from More Than Wildflowers, you know, in that community sent me. And it's been so helpful. And she said, so Abby said, every experience of miscarriage is distinct. The details stand out so clearly in the mourning mother that the particulars of her loss can make her feel as if her pain is too unique for anyone to possibly understand what she is going through. As much as we feel isolated, we hate to feel isolated, it's hard for us to imagine that anyone has ever hurt the way that we are hurting now. Words like, I know exactly how you feel, even though they're motivated by the desire to comfort or relate, can make the details of our stories and perhaps even the lives of our babies seem insignificant by lumping them in with someone else's experience. Feeling dismissed, minimized, and more isolated, we inwardly reply, you have no idea. I would say though, like, you know, on the other side of that, some people have reached out to me who have lost their children after 20 weeks, who have had similar things happen. And it was so comforting to hear from them because I felt I could be honest and, you know, talk the gory details of, you know, everything that happened because they had gone through it as well. So
there's an element of relating.
That's it. I don't want to say like keep it to yourself kind of thing because there is a time and a place for speaking. And, you know, I had many conversations with a lovely friend of mine who had lost her little girl shortly after birth, but they knew it was coming. And, you know, that conversation, those conversations with her were just so invaluable. I definitely think there is a time for those conversations.
Yeah. And I think that's that statement that you just shared, quote, was very insightful and helpful to help us understand.
Yes.
That by our best intentions, sometimes it can make the worst.
Yeah.
Put us in the worst place. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Katie, that was really helpful. I know I have fallen into the trap of saying silly things like that as well sometimes. So, you know, and like you said, it's the best intentions. People don't mean it. But we've just got to be so careful with our words when people are in a place like that. And just, it's amazing image of how God says, you know, he just sits with us in those places, you know, and we just bare our hearts to him and he just takes it, you know. And I think that's what it looks like for us to be in community with each other during these hardships, is just to sit there and being okay with sitting in the brokenness and just loving you guys through that. And I mean, I'm so thankful to hear of your family and friends. They sound phenomenal.
I think so.
Oh, wow. You've got a great community around you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so thankful.
Yeah, wow. Well, did you want to share anything else before we wrap it up, or?
Let me think about that.
How are the kids? How are the kids like since it's all happened? And
We struggled with Millie for a little while, having separation anxiety.
Okay.
Pretty much from the start of her having to leave the hospital, she was like, I don't want to leave you. I need to stay with you. Yeah. And even just recently, she'll say, here's a necklace for you to wear to remember that you're coming back to me. Okay. She's actually standing right behind the camera. And so she was like looking at me going, you're talking about me. But I'm really thankful for the opportunity it's given us to talk to them about heaven and about death and about the hope we have in Jesus.
Yep.
Because it is something, you know, you don't want to bring up death with your children. You don't want to have to face that at such a young age. And so, you know, it was an opportunity to walk them through that. And, you know, I can't say if we've done it well or not, but definitely Millie has a good understanding of, how Jesus has made way for a relationship with God. And that means that we can have, there's a party in heaven and we can, see all of our family and friends. And,
that's cool. That's really awesome. And kids are amazing at just taking it all in, and they're so resilient. It's just beautiful.
I think it's hard to see how Frankie's going to respond to it, because, you know, he was nonverbal at the time,
so
and
young.
Now just starting to communicate. And so obviously he was aware of things happening, like, you know, kids are so intuitive, but just be interesting to see what he remembers and how he processes that later on.
So did you want to add anything, or
I just wanted to mention too, so I use a prayer journal, and I was looking back at January's prayer requests. And the requests were for a healthy baby, which obviously was answered not how I wanted, but also going into labor naturally, which happened, no tearing, which also happened, even though he was my biggest baby too. A fast and smooth labor, so I'd had a 3 hour and then a 1 hour, and then he was 5 hours from like that very early to birth.
You have very quick labors.
Very quick. I was so concerned about getting to the hospital in time, but we made it. We were there. I also had this romantic idea that it would be lovely to have our son on our wedding anniversary, 31st of January, which happened, but unfortunately it was not how we had hoped. And so we've now decided to celebrate two separate days.
Okay, that's wise.
Give it both importance. The other requests were strong connections and closeness with friends, a renewed love for God's word, and that Millie and Frankie will know they are so loved and get lots of attention during the busyness of life with a newborn. And looking back at that, like I looked back at it shortly after, and also just recently, going, every one of those prayers was answered. Like, some of them obviously were not answered
the way you
exactly wanted. But like, God is present. God answers. He cares. And that was just something that I have really been encouraged by, was just seeing for myself that he answers our prayers, and he is, Heavenly Father.
And I'm so encouraged by your story and just your faithfulness in this, because I imagine for so many people it would just cause so much doubt, and instead it seems to have done the opposite for you. Which just blows me away, and I'm just I keep on saying encouraged, because I am, I'm just super encouraged by you. So thank you so much for sharing. Honestly, like, that is such a vulnerable place to be in, and it's still raw for you guys. I mean, it's not even been a full year yet. You know, it's still, you're very much in the midst of it. So anyone listening, keep on praying for Katie and the fam. And just, yeah, we're just going to keep on praying for you guys and lifting you guys up through that way. Definitely support Katie through More Than Wildflowers. She is persevering. When you have chronic pain and you're running a business and you have two toddlers, girl, you are crazy. So definitely everyone needs to hop on there and support this girl. But otherwise, if you have any questions or you want to find out more, you can always reach out to us at Her Theology, and we can maybe get you in touch, or
yeah,
we can chat more about that. But in the meantime, if you have loved this episode, if you think it'd be encouragement to someone else, feel free to share it with your family and your friends. Like, subscribe to us, review us, whatever you want to do on whatever platform you listen to us. And otherwise, we are so thankful, Katie, that you came on board. We
Thank
love
you.
You. We'll get you back on for another episode one day to talk about something completely different, I'm sure.
That would be great. I'd
maybe,
love that.
Maybe what it means to run a Christian business, I don't know.
Yeah.
we'll brainstorm some ideas. And maybe we'll do it face-to-face because we'll be post-COVID. I'm believing in that.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Katie, and thank you for listening, everyone. Goodbye.